T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Matthew Collar joins us each Friday, looking ahead to a Vikings game and other Vikings topics. Matthew is with us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. His book is out there. Excellent reviews already. Making of a Miracle. Before we get to football, it is National Cookie Day, Collar. National Cookie Day. On this show, I have established the peanut butter, either chocolate chip or peanut butter chocolate, as the greatest cookie on planet Earth. We also are in unison that the oatmeal raisin is the worst cookie ever. When you hear those statements, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, oatmeal raisin, like, what am I, on a diet? I mean, I'm eating a cookie here. As far as maybe the underrated cookie is the deli black and white cookie, made famous on Seinfeld for fans of that show. But every time I see one, I got to get it. I think that's one of the best cookies in the world.
That's a very good underrated. Others, the white macadamia, very good. Now, we had it, and just go back to oatmeal raisin, it's a head fake. Okay, it's like Jeff Gladney going for the head fake. You're hoping they're chocolate chips, and then it turns out they're failed grapes, because that's what raisins are, failed grapes. Adam and Dan suggested their love for ginger snaps, and I said they're just fine. Where do you stand on a ginger snap?
Yeah, I think a ginger snap is fine. I might be feeling one of those, like, once a year, maybe.
Thank you.
Sort of another one that goes under the radar. We used to have these at my high school, was the snickerdoodle. The one that's sort of chewy in the middle but hard on the outside. I don't know how that's done, but it's brilliant.
It is good. Sugar cookie, I suggested, overrated. Yeah, it seems good, but then you have a bite of it and you're ready to move on.
Yeah, okay, I'll buy that. I would say the cookie cake, I don't know where you stand on that being a cookie or a cake, but adding frosting to a chocolate chip cookie is probably dangerous for your body, but also delicious.
I think it's out. I think it's a separate category. Just like yesterday, Jason DeRussia pointed out, when the Star Tribune awarded a cookie, cookie of the year, and it was a bar. Bars are bars. They're not cookies. Can a bar be a cookie? Because it's our policy, no.
Yeah, I think it depends on, like, when we're talking about the cookie cake, how much frosting makes it a cake and how much frosting would not. Because the black and white cookie, it is frosted with a very thin layer of, like, you know, chocolate frosting. So these are difficult questions in tough times.
These are. Is it possible this is your next book?
No, because I don't know enough about cookies other than that I like them. And that would be a very short book.
Okay, what has surprised you most about the reaction to Making of a Miracle?
Well, you know, one thing that I've found that people have tweeted me that has, just like the Grinch, made my heart grow four different sizes or whatever, is the number of people who said that their kids were 7 or 8 years old and remembered the play, but now are starting to become little people. And they're reading books and they want to know more about it, right? And so a couple of people have sent me the book with their kid reading it or something like that. And I didn't expect that, or I didn't really think of it. But then I guess, you know, I thought of myself. I was growing up in Buffalo, and my first experience with sports was watching Scott Norwood miss a field goal wide right to lose the Super Bowl. And I guess I didn't really comprehend quite as a child how much that would have meant for the field goal kicker to miss a field goal to win the Super Bowl. And so, you know, you come to learn those things later through reading articles, reading books, you know, listening to interviews and things like that. And I guess I thought, well, it's really cool to be a part of that for somebody to sort of enhance that experience for someone who is a kid. And then they can sort of find out more about it a couple of years later.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Matthew's book, Making of a Miracle, available Amazon.com. Very good read. Think about that year. I mean, Bradford's perfect in the first game. All of a sudden, he's done. Case comes in. The Pittsburgh game, he's just horrible. And you're thinking, you know, okay, another season down the drain, and then it turned into this fantastic season. Then the crazy New Orleans game with the Diggs play, and then oozing with confidence, and then just destroyed by Philly. So Matthew's got great nuggets on this entire year, Making of a Miracle. Let's get you some news of the day. Irv Smith Jr. and DJ Wonnum both out. Ezra Cleveland in. Take me through the significance of those three players.
Yeah, the Irv Smith one is interesting because last week when they were missing Irv Smith and Adam Thielen, I thought that Gary Kubiak and Kirk Cousins did a terrific job of spreading the ball out. They hit, what, four different receivers with seven catches or something like that? I mean, it was really well done the way they found Chad Beebe and B.C. Johnson. And, hey, look, Kyle Rudolph, if you throw him the ball, he'll catch it. He's not usually going to take it for 40 or 50 yards, but if you throw him the ball, he'll catch it. And I feel like at times throughout Kirk Cousins' Vikings history, he's sort of forgotten how reliable that Kyle Rudolph can be, that he's always that outlet who's sort of there for you. And sometimes we see Cousins force the ball toward Adam Thielen or toward Justin Jefferson, and then you go back and look and say, man, you had your check down with you know, Kyle Rudolph right there for you, and you kind of ignored it. And so I wonder if there's a lesson to be learned from that with Irv Smith still out, that you don't have to look to Adam Thielen every single time, that you can look to some of these other places. But still, that is a guy who I thought was emerging into, I don't want to quite say a star, but I mean, the way he was playing over a 5 or 6 week stretch was very, very good for Irv Smith. So this is kind of a setback for him. I mean, they're already very weak on the defensive line. DJ Wonnum was another guy that I felt like was emerging. He blocked a field goal last week. He's increased his pressure rate throughout the last few weeks. And so not having him, it's like, okay, you're relying a lot on Jalen Holmes and on Afadi Adenabo, and they were already thin at that position. Ezra Cleveland coming back, I think, is big. I like the way Brett Jones filled in. That's kind of what he is, a fill-in player. He's able to just kind of hold down the fort for a couple games. I don't think you want much more than that. Ezra Cleveland is a weapon on the offensive line with how athletic and mobile he is. So I think we'll see the return of the screen game with him coming back. I think that is big for their line, especially last week after, you know, there was quite a bit of pressure that came up the middle. That probably won't happen against the Jaguars, but just as they go down the stretch, you know, that's going to be a thing where teams try to attack. So it's good to have Ezra Cleveland back.
Okay, you talk about Wonnum out, and then you're playing Jacksonville, so that makes us think of Ngakoue and how this all played out, where early when I think we still were in the tweaking days with the Neil Hunter at that point, you pick up a guy who's accomplished for a second-round pick, and it looked like, hey, for how long has this organization had two defensive ends? And you think about Ngakoue, and you think about Hunter working together and the other players, it seemed pretty good. Well, the season was tanking at that point, so then they trade him for a third-round draft choice to the Ravens. How did that all play out? Did they make the right move or wrong move at the time? And then the same thing. They're now 5-6. They're in the mix. Did they make the right or wrong move when they traded him?
Yeah, this is let's call it an ever-evolving situation to whether this worked out or not.
Right.
That's a great point. And also, you know, as reporters, we don't get our revenge game press conference. That's a shame. Although the Jaguars kicker is a former Viking practice squad kicker, which means he'll make the game winner this week. But to your point about Ngakoue, it is kind of fascinating because if you think about it, if this team wins this game and they're back to 500, then they look at the defensive line and go, you know, we're still not pressuring the quarterback at all. And one thing you could say for Yannick Ngakoue is even though he wasn't good against the run, when he got after the quarterback, he really got after the quarterback. The guy, I think, two of his four or five sacks were strip sacks. He seemed to have a special way of doing that. But at the same time, I still don't see this as a Super Bowl team. And so, I mean, they have to prove they can even get to the playoffs first.
Yeah.
And so I think bailing on Ngakoue when they knew after having him in the building that they didn't want to sign him long term, I think that was the right move. They saved themselves some cap space instead of franchise tagging him or signing him to a bad contract that he wasn't going to be worth. And recouping a third-round pick was probably the highest anybody traded out at the trade deadline. It was very bare when it came to moves, and teams weren't making big deals like that. So I think they kind of did the best they could. At the same time, when it comes to draft time, think of the recent second-round picks that they've had. Dalvin Cook, Irv Smith, Ezra Cleveland, they've gotten a lot out of second-round picks, so not having that, it will matter down the road.
Okay, so let's, because obviously Kendricks was a second-round pick too.
Right.
He's playing with Eric Wilson this year because Barr is out, and it certainly appears that Eric Wilson, again, when he steps in, is a quality player. We know Zimmer's fascination and love with Barr, the first pick when he took over, how persuasive he was when he was pretty much a done deal with the Jets and brought him back. And he doesn't splash. You know, he doesn't rush the quarterback as well as some people want. But then the numbers sometimes show he's better in some of the deeper analytics than what we would normally see. So if he comes back healthy, that's a big number. Wilson is a free agent, correct? What are they going to do there? I mean, both can't play a lot, it seems like, the way Zimmer plays. Is it next year Wilson or Barr as opposed to both?
Yeah, so this is really fascinating. I mean, what do they call it when all the family members get together and tell one person that they've got a problem? I mean, that might be something that they need to do with Mike Zimmer and Anthony Barr. Like, you have a problem in your love and commitment to Anthony Barr. Now, I think Barr is terrific, and I think that he's one of the smarter players out on the field at any given time, and that his size and speed combination makes him really challenging for running backs to get open, for teams to run crossing routes behind him and things like that, like little nuanced things that you see on tape that you totally understand why Zimmer loves him. But when we talk about the value of the position versus what Eric Wilson has brought, you know, Wilson is a playmaker. On that play last week where they get the four-yard loss against Carolina, that was huge. That's Eric Wilson shooting into the backfield and making that play. So, you know, we've seen Wilson be enough of a playmaker and good enough in coverage with his speed that even though you are losing something from Barr to Wilson, is it worth the $15 million in the cap that you're going to pay for Anthony Barr versus maybe you sign Wilson to a couple million-dollar contract? That is a hard conversation they're going to have. It also, you know, isn't a great time to cut Anthony Barr because they can earn about $7 million in cap space, but it's really down the road after 2021 that it would open up a lot more. And I just think that with the cap going down, you're going to have to make some of these really tough decisions. You might have to move on from a Barr, a Kyle Rudolph, a Riley Reiff. You know, at least, you know, those two guys have played pretty well still, but you're just paying them or set to pay them so much money next year. And that's why, you know, it's one of those things to hesitate a little with guaranteeing that this Vikings team just takes huge steps next year, because the amount of improvement that they can actually make with as tight as the cap is going to be is maybe not as much as people think.
Last thing, why is Jacksonville so horrible?
Well, I mean, first, you know, they start a backup quarterback, essentially, in Gardner Minshew from the very beginning. Their whole entire team from 2017 that went to the AFC Championship is entirely gone, I think, outside of one guy on the defensive side. I mean, this team is not, like, secretly better than you think or better than their record. They're very bad. But Yeah, I think also they've lost all the close games that they've had. Last week they're within 2 points of Cleveland. Their coach is definitely a lame duck. I mean, they just, you got to respect, though, that whether they did it on purpose or not, they've gotten themselves in a position to get Justin Fields or Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence. And I think that really the organizational direction is the number one reason they're not good. Like, they made the smart move by trading Yanni Ngakoue instead of signing him and hoping to go 6-10 or 7-9 or something like that. So I think it's mostly just that they're a tanking team. But we know with this Vikings team, you can't, at least in 2020, correct, guarantee any victories.
Thanks, man. Good stuff. Matthew Collar, Making of a Miracle. It's an excellent read, especially for Vikings fans. Enjoy a cookie later today, Matthew.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.